Well, hello and welcome to the Scott McKenna podcast. I guess this is actually like the first official podcast, but either way, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to bring you what I think is a great episode. And ironically enough, the very first podcast is actually about podcasting, but I wanted to bring somebody on to the show, introduce you to a great friend of mine, someone that I've built a great friendship with over the last bunch of months named Carl Olson. If that name is new to you, it's because you have not been lucky enough to yet consume his podcast, which previously was called the Digital Convergence Podcast. It is now called The Artful Camera. Still the same great podcast, just a different name. And he is just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to podcasting. He's been doing it for a while. He has just a fantastic voice, which you're going to hear. It's a voice that I wish I could have because, man, it is just, it's good. But either way, I'm excited about this episode. We got a chance to sit down and talk about podcasting, some experience he's had with it, some tips he can give to people starting out, and just over almost 10 years worth of experience in the podcast industry. So because of the obviously overwhelming popularity right now of podcasts, I know there's a lot of people that are thinking about getting into it. So this will be great for you to hear. So we're going to jump right into the interview with Carl Olson. Excited about this one. Make sure you connect with me on Twitter at Scott W. McKenna and let me know what you think. Well, good morning, Carl. Thanks so much for a few minutes of your time today. It's an honor to have you on this episode. Whether you know it or not, you're honestly one of the biggest reasons I actually started this podcast. So first I wanted to say thank you, and I want to say welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. This is the first time I've been speechless. Oh, gosh. Sorry about that. I'm not used to being on this side of the mic, you know.
Well, you still sound great. You still got one of the best voices in all of podcasting. And have you ever been on radio? You sound like, I mean, you have a great radio voice.
So it's interesting that you say that because back in when I was in college, I went to the Florida Institute of Technology. My whole goal in life at that time as a 18-year-old was either to be a DJ or to be a pilot. How random is that, right? Yeah, so I worked for the college station down there. It was called WFIT, still going strong. There was a guy there, his name, Dale Cannon, that was his name. If he ever listens to this show, I hope that he recognizes the influence that he had on it. He taught me a lot about speaking on radio. I remember one day I was on the, I had just started, and I gave the call ID, and I said, this is WFIT. Now, most people wouldn't even notice what I just did there, but he says, Carl, that's not how you say W. It's W.
So your first thing you said,
He says, you say WFIT. So he taught me how to enunciate. Not that I'm a very good enunciator to this day, but I always thought, you know, oh, it'd be so cool if I could have my own little radio station or something like that. But it took many, many, many years before the platform of podcasting came out. And now everybody can be a radio producer, as it were.
Yes, it's definitely an interesting thing. For those who don't know who you are, obviously, I've been listening to your podcast, which initially was called the Digital Convergence Podcast, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of because it still is a great podcast, but it used to be called the Digital Convergence. Now it's called the Artful Camera. But for those who don't know who you are, explain kind of how you got to where you're at today in life, in creative, in whatever you're doing now. I know a little bit about what you're doing, but for the people who don't, can you help us understand a little bit who Carl Olson actually is?
I'm a very project-oriented person. You know, I've been that way since I was a child. So I never dreamed of doing just one thing my entire life. And so I started it, as I mentioned before, at college. I thought I was going to be a pilot, but that didn't happen. I actually had a class that set me down on an IBM 370 mainframe, and that's when I realized software is the future. So I took a detour into software. I always had an interest in the creative side. I still kept my fingers in that. I've worked as a cameraman for a television station here in Atlanta many, many, many decades ago. And so I got good experience with that, but I always kept my fingers in software because that's where it brought home a paycheck to my family. It satisfied the nerd in me. And it gave me a good background in Well, it was a creative process too. So I've always had my fingers in the creative process. I was a software developer. I had my own company for probably 35 years where I developed software and did user interaction design. And then in the 2000s, I dabbled into video. I had a client that came to me. It was a major mortgage company here in Atlanta, and somebody had shot some really bad HDV video, and he wanted it on the web, and he just said, "Can you do something with this?" And I looked at it, and I said, "Sure,
why not?"
went out, bought the $1,200 edition of Final Cut Pro, and
don't remember those days.
Yeah, watched all the Larry Jordan Final Cut Pro tutorials. I delivered. They were happy. And I said, you know, this is pretty cool. I need to do more video. And so I went and started buying video equipment and taking on more editing jobs for the purpose of putting on the web. And then the DSLR happened. Canon 5D Mark II exploded on the scene. And that's when I decided, you know what? I really don't know as much about this as I'd like to know, so I'll start a podcast. And that was in January of 2010 when it launched. I started thinking about it, I guess, in 2009.
So that's interesting. So you started your podcast because you wanted to learn more?
That's exactly right.
See, and that's so fascinating, and I love that aspect of it. I've always been a person that loves learning as well, but I think that that's such a great thing to learn. So many people think that you should start something because you want to inform or because you know everything, and you went at it the entire different approach and realized there's a community that maybe can help you learn more. That's awesome.
Yeah, I never considered myself an expert in it. It's just, and I still don't. You have to think of being an expert as there's different ways to look at it. So, you know, to me, a real pro, a real expert is someone that really has been in the trenches and they really know their stuff inside and out. And I've never reached that level. Maybe in software to a degree, but not in video and photography. But I did. You can be an authority as long as you read the chapter ahead of everybody else, I guess.
That's a great point.
And to me, when I would interview guests, one, I was surprised at how accessible everyone was. I really didn't think I would be able to get, people who were at the top of their game at the time. And when the first yes came in, I was just, oh, now what do I do?
Okay, I didn't think they were actually going to say it. Now I have to formulate an interview.
Yeah, and how do I keep from sounding like an idiot? Well, that took a long time, and I still sound like an idiot from time to time. But
who was your first guest?
It was actually, my first guest was Mitch Onger of Planet 5D. So he was the first person that I discovered doing a web search. You know, he was just the first person. He had a site about Canon 5D, and I thought, okay, I'll contact him. And sure enough, he agreed to be on the show, which was pretty interesting. So, but then there was a guy his name was Trammell Hudson, I believe. He was the originator of Magic Lantern, which was a firmware hack for the Canon. And out of the blue, I was introduced to him. I forget who introduced me to him, but I was able to get in touch with him, and he agreed to be on the podcast. And as far as I know, it's the only podcast he ever appeared on.
Wow.
And it was a fascinating discussion. But then I started, you know, talking to others, and I'd heard that Shane Hurlbut was really getting into using Canon 5Ds for his movie production. So I thought, well, let me just see what happens if I reach out to him. And you know what? He said yes. So Shane Hurlbut, Gail Tattersall, who was the DP for...
You had Philip Bloom on there.
Yeah. So a lot of these guys, I was really surprised that they would take time to talk to little old me and share their experiences and their information with my audience. And I'm happy that I was able to present a forum for them to do it. It's like a mini workshop. To me, a podcast is almost like a mini workshop in many respects. So having them on was great. Now, in later times, I got away from trying to go for the big names because what I became interested in really was people who were just trying to make it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like their stories. And so I started focusing more on people who may not have been big names, but to me, I was impressed by their story or their tenaciousness in trying to learn and do interesting work.
That's awesome. And one thing you hinted on that I think is where I want to also talk about is obviously right now podcasts are becoming more popular than ever. It feels like everyone I'm seeing is doing podcasts and starting to realize that. I think to me, the number one reason that podcasts are becoming popular is because the number one asset in our lives that people need to realize more is time. And podcasts are the only form of media that you can consume while you're doing something else. And because they save people time and they allow people to still do what they're already doing, I think it's no question the reason why it's growing like it is. And I think why it's going to become more and more popular, that I feel like just like YouTube kind of now is the place that, you know, if you are in business at all, you should be creating some content on YouTube. I think podcasting can be that thing as well, where if you're not creating some sort of podcast, that you're creating stuff for, you know, whether it's the Amazon Echoes, the Google Home Minis, all those, it's going to be a place you need to. And would you agree that that's kind of one of the reasons I think we're seeing a lot of growth recently with podcasts? Because it feels like it was really popular for a while, I feel like years and years back. Then it kind of slowed down. YouTube started to become more popular, video and all that. And then I think now that YouTube is so crowded, it's hard to watch as much content as actually available, that it's easier to listen to. Would you agree kind of with that assumption?
Yeah. The thing about podcasting, and the reason I like them, I started listening to podcasts before they were called podcasts. Yeah, maybe technically they weren't podcasts. They were just downloadable files, and you would burn them to a CD and then put them in your CD player in your car, and I would listen. And that was back in my programming days. There was a guy, his name is Carl Franklin. He had a show called .NET Rocks. And I was really impressed with his production values and the information he shared. You would not think you could do a podcast on programming, but he could. You know, it was a conversation, and he would interview different people. And I thought, wow, this is a great, I learned so much about the .NET framework. Not that anybody else cares about that, but you know, I was a developer. So, you know, before we started recording, you were talking about, talking to different people who are in totally unrelated fields. And that's the way I felt like Carl Franklin was doing. He was making all these connections, you know, different applications, different businesses, different ways of looking at things. And I thought, whoa, that's so cool. So podcasting to me was a great way to listen to ideas and think about things I wouldn't have done in a video. I mean, it would just, if I have to sit and look at the screen, it would have been a tough sell to listen to a conversation for an hour. But I was driving to Atlanta and elsewhere in Georgia and Alabama and places like that, visiting clients. And so I had a couple hours to kill. Podcast was the thing to do. And I think that still
is.
Yeah,
I think that's absolutely. And I think it's also now, I think, even more popular than ever, because, and I remember the time when I had, you know, the original iPods, and you used to download the podcast to iTunes and then sync them to your iPod. And so there might be a couple of days in between when someone releases something and when you actually download it. Now, you know, with your app built into your phone, you release a new podcast, it shows up, I hit play, and it's going. Yeah. And I think that that's just obviously why it's even more accessible than ever. And I found, I mean, I just drove 7,200 miles over the last month around the country on vacation. And I listened to probably 30 to 40 hours worth of podcasts. And I remember I was so excited when I saw that you just had released that new podcast episode, because I finally had something new to listen to because I had ran out of every single podcast that I had brought with me or that was on my podcast app. That I was so excited when something new hit, and I was like, please be as long as possible, because I just need something to listen to get me from Pittsburgh to home. And that's when I listened to it recently. So it is fascinating. Yeah. Though it's amazing kind of how this trend I see. Obviously I'm jumping on board with the trend, but just everybody's getting back into it. And I just do think, like you said, it's the thing that we can do while we're driving in the car, while we're getting ready in the morning, while we're making breakfast in the morning. It's just really intriguing to people, and I just love this idea. So I love that it's obviously much more accessible, and that I can hopefully have a lot more guests that have so much more knowledge than me to talk and just help other people learn, because I, like you, just love learning. I like bringing on people that know so much more than me so that I can get better at what I do. I think too many people get in this mentality that they know everything. And when I used to think that, and then now I look back years ago when I thought I knew everything, it's unbelievable how little I knew. And I think that if we get a mentality of actually wanting to learn more than we want to just talk and teach, I think that we can go places in life. And that's kind of what I'm hoping to do with this podcast.
I think you'll do fine. This is the, you think about what is the number one form of entertainment for all the centuries of human existence? It's sitting around talking, you know, mm-hmm. That is the primary way that we've always learned. That's the way we've been taught, is someone talking and showing and doing. Yep. And, but the conversation, it's inspiring. You get ideas. I liked what you were saying before too. You talk to somebody that does something totally different than what you do. And I love that. See, I love to talk to a plumber or a musician or an architect,
yep.
a janitor. They all have a different perspective of life. And one is not more important than the other. One can make you think about something that you've never thought about. And that's what I like. And maybe that's sometimes my show gets a little esoteric like that, because that's where I'm wanting to go. But I know most people, a lot of people, when they listen to something, they want to learn about a particular task, a piece of gear or a technique. And that gets tedious to me after a while, because that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about ideas and things that inspire and that sort of thing. And that's harder to do. And it's tougher on the audience if that's not what they want to listen to. But the podcast gives you an opportunity to experiment. So I've experimented a good bit. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I think is important as well for me and for people kind of going into podcasting. Because I think too many times, if you start something, whether it's YouTube, whether it's a podcast, whether it's any sort of content creation, if you are so incredibly narrow and you are so specific to what people want to hear, rather than sticking somewhat true to what you're interested in, I think that's also one of the things, and going into the next question, that I see a lot of people, the reason that they quit. There are so many people that start something and they're either copying somebody else, and so they run out of ideas because they're just waiting for that person to create something new. And they just forget that, yes, this is supposed to bring other people value as well. And the reason I create the podcast is so more people can hear it. But at the same time, it's got to be continually interesting for me as well, because I'm obviously recording and having these conversations. And I think, the goal that I have is to be able to have as many different episodes as possible. And maybe you could touch on that a little bit too. I know over the course of obviously the last 7 or 8 years of you doing these podcasts, you've probably seen a lot of podcasts start and end rather quickly, like a lot of people. And I'm curious if you could maybe talk a little bit about kind of what you've learned over the years of podcasting. How many episodes have you done, and why you think so many people don't continue?
Well, why do they not continue? I've been there. I've started another podcast. I went 9 episodes, I think, and then I just stopped doing it. And part of that was because I just kind of didn't like where it was going. I mean, it was interesting and I liked it, but it was called Gainfully Unemployed. And it was, I think if I had kept doing it, it would have far surpassed the Artful Camera in popularity. But the focus on money was not attractive to me. So I just stopped doing it. It wasn't my personality. So I stopped, but it's still popular to this day. But I did not personally want to do that because I didn't like where the message was going.
So that's one part of, obviously, is the someone starting something that they can't, that they don't necessarily love, and then it dies quick. What are some other things that you see?
I see that it's difficult to do. It's far harder than most people think it is.
It is. It's very interesting. Even in the, 3 or 4 episodes I've already recorded, it's so different when you know that someone's only going to hear your voice. I'm someone that's so comfortable on video and that's so worried about lighting and all the kind of stuff, that it is different, because you've got to have a very different personality and very different conversation when the only thing they're doing is listening to your voice, which you're lucky enough that you have a great sounding voice. Mine's just every day. Like, it's not, so I got to do as much as I can of making people really want to stick around.
I think your voice quality is fine. It's people listen to people for what they have to say and how they say it. you know, if you're gracious and you respect the audience, and they're going to listen to you no matter what the timbre of your voice is. But I'm digressing there. So why do people stop? I think the main reason is people don't realize just how hard it is to do. And you can waste people's time. I've done it. Oh, man, I go back and listen to some of my podcasts, and I'm thinking, what were we thinking when we did that? You know, so you know, a lot of podcasts, they're just rambles, you know, and I'd like to see a little more purpose mm-hmm. in a podcast. Of course, it took me a long time to learn that, too, and I'm still working at it. I do like to see a little bit more purpose in a podcast. So in many respects, podcasting is not just a conversation. That's probably the easiest type of podcast to do, is where you have another guest on, like you and I are doing.
Right.
It's easier when you have a conversation like this.
Right.
But even that needs to have some purpose
right.
in it. You have an objective. We both have something to share. So that's good. But if we were just sitting around, so many podcasts are starting this thing, and I've even seen this in YouTube videos. Everybody wants, the intro is brewing a cup of coffee.
Right.
That trope is so tired.
Yep.
Or what am I drinking? What whiskey are you drinking? That whole thing is just so tiring to me, because everybody's doing it.
Right.
You know, that's not what I want to see. You know, I like the conversation, and I like the idea of it. You know, the mental picture I had when I first started the podcasting was, you know, sitting at a cafe table or in a coffee shop and talking. But you don't make the coffee the center of the conversation.
Yeah, no, good point.
Don't make the whiskey but that's just an opinion, Scott. That's just my opinion. Some people may like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, it really depends on obviously what the conversation is about. I mean, I've heard 2-hour podcasts that are outstanding, and I've heard 1-minute podcasts that are terrible. So I think, it really depends on the topic. I mean, I think it is hard sometimes too, because, you know, when you get to, as you know, part of what's hard about creating anything as often as possible is the more you edit it, the more you have to do in post-production, the harder it gets to keep doing it, because it's now taking you 5 to 6 hours rather than just a conversation and hitting publish is way simpler. And so I think that's also kind of a fine line that I know that I think about in the podcast. It's like, I love polished things. I love editing things, because I like it to sound good. And I like to cut off any time that isn't. I know that's got to kind of be hard for you sometimes too, as well, because, you know, how do you draw the line? Someone looking to get into podcasting and to start podcasting, how do you kind of determine what is actually valuable to people versus, you know, how much should you edit things? Could you speak on that as well? Because I know that, you know, how many episodes have you done of your podcast?
I'm at 238 episodes at the time of the screen. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a lot of episodes. So, I mean, how do you determine at the end of an episode what is good and what's not?
So my first guiding point, oddly enough, I mean, we were talking about providing value to the audience, but the other aspect I think about when I'm editing is I want to present my guest in the best possible light. So my editing will highlight that. You know, I'll eliminate a lot of times you'll hear people say, that's a good question. And they say that every time they're asked a question. So I'll cut that out, because I know what they're, I'm not offended by it. I mean, I do it too, but I take that out, because all that is they're collecting their thoughts is what that's it. Now, sometimes I will leave it in. It just, because I want it to be natural. But if it's a person that says it every time they're asked a question, then, you know, maybe the first time, or if it's a really, if I think it's a really good question, I'll cut that out. I mean, I'll allow it to stay, but then I'll cut out the other occurrences. I don't cut out every or stutter. I mean, I stutter and I've got my own idiosyncrasies. I don't edit every one of those out. But if there's something that makes my guests look bad, I will take it out. I want them to look good.
I think that's a cool, really cool point, though, too, of, you know, obviously your point when you publish a podcast is to bring value to the listener. But, you know, when someone's on a podcast, it's for the most part, they're also looking to get something out of it as well. They're looking to get awareness. They're looking of, you know, if you have a YouTube channel and you have a YouTuber on, they're probably looking to have people know about them. And so that's a great point of when you think about it, too, how can I make sure that the person I'm interviewing is well represented? Because you need to provide value to them as well, or they don't want necessarily to be on the podcast. And I think when someone else listens to your podcast and realizes, hey, that person came across great, I want to check out their stuff. Well, now if you're the person that might want to be interviewed, you realize that there's value in actually being on Carl Olson's podcast or Scott McKenna's podcast, right? Because you're represented well. That's a great point that probably a lot of people, I think, don't think about. You need to keep all sides in mind.
Podcasters get very needy, so they'll have a big name on thinking that, okay, this big name is going to make me popular. They're going to share. Mm-hmm.
And they talk more than they listen. Know,
the chances of them sharing your stuff on and being effusive about it, it's 99% of the time they're not going to do it. They don't have the time for that. That's not their job.
Right.
Because that was your job. It was your job to promote. It was your job to have them on. So, you know, I don't view having a big name guest as a traffic builder or anything like that. I view, if I do have a big name guest on, it's to provide value to my audience. And hopefully that person is edified, my guest is edified by that, because it just continues to reaffirm their authority in whatever field that they do. But I'm not expecting things. Now, sometimes I do have them. They'll say, hey, Carl, if there's anything I can do for you, I'll do this. I don't generally take them up on it because I don't want to cross that line there, but I appreciate it when they do, but that's rare, extremely rare that happens. And I don't think it's owed to me.
Yep. And I think that's why you've succeeded. I mean, it's, you know, we talked about it when I was on your show too, but karma is practical, that when you don't expect something from people and you just are a person that is just kind and provides value to people, it's, you know, people want to share it more. And I think that's why you've done it really well. Cause if I go into every podcast angry, if you don't share this or so-and-so doesn't share this, and I try to get a big name and then get mad that they don't share it, well, I've already missed kind of the point, because I'm not trying to provide value to anyone except myself. And that's not the point of why you should be creating content. You know, obviously you can build a brand and bring awareness to you, but the awareness you should be bringing to you is that you're trying to help other people.
Exactly.
And if you're not, you're going to lose in anything you do, because that's just how it all works. But last topic I want to talk about, because that's all just really, really good stuff about podcasts, but you can only talk about podcasts so much in
very
a podcast.
Meta.
So I want to talk quickly about your new Instagram painting journey. I know you've been painting for a while, but recently you just started painting something every single day. And I've actually really enjoyed looking at it, because I love how you post the side-by-side picture. And I mean, I can't draw or paint for my life. What is this little 30-day thing or whatever you're on, and kind of what are you up to in painting these days?
Well, I want to be a good artist. I really do. It's not a brand new thing. I mean, I've dabbled in it for a number of years, but because of my work and my business, it's like I might do a painting and then a few months would go by and then I'd do another. And you can never become an expert doing that. I mean, it's just same is true if you claim to be a cinematographer and you only shoot video once every few months, you're never going to get good at it, right? So I'm at a point in my life where, you know, I'm kind of done with the client work. I'm done with video. I'm done with photography as a, you know, doing client-based work. I'm done with a lot of things. I'm at a new phase in my life. It's like beginning of the show, I said, I view everything as having a beginning and an end. I'm project-oriented. So my project now is, and my wife has been very supportive of this. She says, why don't you just focus on painting? Just do, you know, forget the podcast, forget all this other stuff that you're trying to keep afloat. Just focus on the painting. And I've always wanted to do that. But it was like,
get other stuff taking up your time.
You know, it took my wife saying, you know what, why don't you just do this? And I do a lot of volunteer work too. So it just takes, there's only so much time. And so by simplifying and focusing on, so I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I started last summer. I started taking workshops, and I've got other workshops that are coming up. And that's what I'm focusing in on, is I'm going to develop this skill. I don't think I'm good at it. I don't. And this 31-day challenge, it's by a company called Strata Easel. They make these easels for painters to paint outdoors, which has become a huge thing in the last few years. You know, people going outdoors and painting, which is a cool thing. I like going outdoors, and I like the idea of painting. I want to do that. So it's a piece of equipment. So that's what they do. But they had this thing called a 31-day Strata Easel challenge. And so the challenge is not just to paint every single day, but you have to paint from life.
Yeah, so then you're looking at shadows and depth, and
then you gotta post it. So whether it's good or bad, and see so that affects my ego in a big way, because
it also affects your accountability,
which
people need.
There it is. I got to put my bad out there,
because it makes you have to post something each day.
But I've done 15 days. I didn't think I'd be able to make it. My dad was in the hospital for about a week, and it was very difficult. And so that added to the challenge. I thought this month was going to be free and clear, but it hasn't been. And I mean, that's not a complaint against my poor father.
Yeah.
You know, it's just life, you know, things happen, but I stuck with it. I said, okay, I'm going to do this anyway. And my wife was very encouraging. So sometimes it'd be late at night that I'd be doing these paintings, and you know, it's kind of a slapdash, but
you did it.
I'm doing it because it's teaching me.
Yep. And I think that's a great way to, that's just a great lesson and a great way, I think, to end, is just this idea that when you want to do something, it takes time. It takes battling through, even when it's not ideal. A lot of people start and they want to do something when it's ideal and when it's perfect. But the honest truth is, I don't think that anyone has succeeded in anything they've done by just doing it when it's comfortable and good for them. They have to battle through. And if you want to learn, if you want to get better at something you do, you need to do it no matter what. And I think that that's just a great lesson that people can learn anything. But
yeah.
I really, really appreciate you taking some time. I know you have lots going on. You probably got to get to your painting today.
Yeah,
make sure you crush it. What is your Instagram handle so people can follow you on there and see these painting journeys? Now you can have even more people looking.
Okay. It's artful.creative.
Artful.creative. Perfect.
Yeah.
And I will definitely put the link to your podcast in there. I know you are experimenting with some different things possibly in your podcast right now, but there are 238 episodes that are fantastic. So if you are someone that has not listened to The Artful Camera, you have plenty to catch up on. And there is just some great stuff about it. And I just appreciate just your inspiration to even start a podcast. I appreciate you being on here. Appreciate just what you do and just for your time.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate what you've been doing as well.
Well, I just want to say a special thank you to Carl Olson, just an incredible guy. I got a chance to meet him and be on his podcast not too long ago, and it's just awesome meeting other people who just love helping and love learning as I do. So thanks to Carl. Thanks for his time on this podcast, and just thanks to you for listening. If you're listening and you like this episode, can you hit me up on Twitter at Scott W. McKenna? Tell me what you thought. Tell me who you'd like to hear from and any questions you have. Let's keep this conversation going. Thanks.